WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Be Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive. If you have that Amazon Prime link, it's your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use credit code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. We're Epic Game Store because of hashtag Epic Partner. I am Sir Rockin. That is Keishi Matsunaga.
Keishi Matsunaga subscribing with Prime, just like that.
Woo!
See, it's very easy. I did it in like 2 seconds.
Yay! You can also share it and it does the thing. Sets off an alert.
There we go. Yeah, we did it.
Maybe? Okay. Hopefully it goes through.
It's boots to asses time!
There it is. There's the alert. We also have the intern, King Kinnett.
Yeah, you can also support Keishi by going to his Redbubble store and getting his merch.
Hey, somebody's got to push that if I'm not going to.
There we go.
There you go.
I got to try and shill for everyone. It's all good.
He's working on the
shilling. I just need to consciously shill more randomly on the internet, you know. Hey, it's been like never since I promoted my online store to buy my merch. Here.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll remember to do that later.
Because it was mentioned in chat. Thanks to Wacko Ninja for subscribing for 3 months. You happy now, Lindsay? Oh. There's the acknowledgement.
Yeah. Acknowledge him.
Acknowledge.
He did acknowledge me, just not by Twitch handle.
Yeah, we got the full acknowledgement in. You good? We all satisfied on that one. Anyway.
Does that mean Keishi's the head of the table here?
No, the person...
Only for tonight.
Cause
it's a coffee table. But, like, not a coffee table. Like,
one of those TV tables.
Or is it... the TV trays that you put on your couch.
Or is it the coffee table book from Seinfeld? Anyone, no one get the reference? Okay.
Well, no, I get that.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Good. At least some people get the references. Some people. There will be a Tim, maybe.
He's getting his puffy shirt.
He's getting his puffy shirt. He's He's doing something right. I don't know. We'll have him at some point on the show. So, tonight... we're going to keep it simple. We're going to cover a couple things. We're going to burn through some of the all-time greats because we haven't covered it in a while. So we're going to try to catch up a little bit. Sounds like a plan? Cool.
You bet.
I guess.
So, as it was discussed in our group chat today, we have some topics that we want to talk about. One of which was brought up by Brent. We've had a lot of returns lately. Right? Both in WWE and AEW, they're all returning. Everyone's getting some big stars. We got Dexter Lumis on Raw, CM Punk on AEW.
Parker Bordeaux.
That's a debut, not a return. It's a return.
Hit Row. Most
of Hit Row.
Yeah. Apparently, the internet is all up in arms because, you know, of course, Hit Row came back without Swerve, heaven forbid.
So there's that. But what was your favorite, Brent?
My favorite return I talked about last week was Dakota. That's my favorite. Yes.
It's your favorite.
Well, yeah, it's... I don't think... I mean, she did all she could do in NXT. There was talk about her going up to the main roster. She really wasn't given the shake of the main roster because she got, like, two dark matches and then Vince decided just, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And she was cut pretty much immediately after. And she kind of hung out there. She was, you know, doing her Twitch thing. She changed her name to King Coda.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos. But someone like her, I think, is needed, at least on the main roster with that women's division, because it just gives you a really good worker, someone who can sell with a bunch of people, make others look good, or she can shine if she's given the chance. And I think her paired with Io Sky / Shirai and Bayley gives the women's division kind of this force that they're going to have to deal with, because you've got Bianca sitting out there as the face champion, but we were all kind of sitting there wondering, like, well, where's this going to go? She beat Becky, and then Becky did the, you know, sign of respect, and then was hurt, but technically got hurt during the match. But it was like, okay, do you turn her to Asuka or Alexa, who are technically faces? There was no real, like, big heel on Raw to kind of make you go, ooh, I want to see that matchup, because I don't think... Zelina Vega, Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H. is really going to elicit that, like, top-tier response when it comes to Bianca. But now you've got this female faction, all of which can challenge for that title and be legitimate, and it gives you a lot of possibilities. And plus, by having a faction, you involve other members of the women's roster, as we've seen so far with Asuka and Alexa.
All right, Keisha, what was you? What about you? What was your favorite so far?
Killer Cross made a pretty good impact as he kind of busted it, kind of coming out of nowhere. That was kind of nice. It's good to see him back. It's good to see him, you know, not Spartaned up. Is that what we're calling it? Being Spartaned up?
Sure. Sure. We'll go with that one.
So, I mean, there's, you know, high hopes for him being able to do kind of the thing that he was doing in NXT, which worked very well for the two of them. Scarlett is going to be healthy to join him on the main roster.
All right, Keisha, continue your thought, please.
Yes. Where was I? Killer Cross, Scarlett, doing good things. Hopefully we'll do good things on the main roster as well. Yada, yada, yada. I'm excited to see that. It'll also be a nice, you know, it'll give some of these guys something to do leading up to Clash, whether or not they insert Cross in there. Obviously, will be left to be seen, but it's kind of, it gives SmackDown and the main event something else to kind of pay attention to leading up to basically what most people are speculating for Drew and Roman at the Clash. So It's just, it's a nice mix up for the main event.
So now the question to Tim, we've seen a lot of returns lately in WWE and even in AEW. What has been your favorite return so far?
Well, they changed her last name, but it's nice to see Io Shirai back. Io Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always figured that her release was a bit of a raw deal.
Io never got released, though.
Her contract was coming up.
Yeah, her contract was coming up, but she's been out injured, and she returned. Anyway.
Her return.
There you go, return.
That was kind of the question.
That was the question. When you said released, she was never released. Dakota was released.
Yeah, Dakota Kai was released.
Yeah, that's the confusion there.
Io Shirai, Dakota Kai. Not like they rhyme.
I mean, Bayley got him confused, so, I mean, here we are.
Still there.
Yeah. That was a nice recovery, though.
It was a great recovery on Raw by her.
I missed that part of it. I was busy working.
She said Dakota Sky at one point on the thing.
That's just the tag name.
Just the tag name.
Yeah.
Okay. We have, so Tim, since you weren't here last week.
No, I was busy.
You were busy.
Very important busy.
We talked about a bunch of people, you know, possibly returning. Is there any names that you in particular would like to see come back to WWE?
Well, I heard a rumor that you guys already brought his name up last Sunday. But the unsourced rumors that I picked up was there's going to be a Wyndham return at the end of Clash.
Shut up, Lindsay.
is there something wrong with your interwebs?
No, it's a call back to last week's show.
Okay, so there were problems. You had to end the show early because of technical.
Had to or was forced to. Those are two different things.
Okay, so what? Did you forget to pay your Verizon bill or something?
Xfinity, and no. I'll tell you later. It's a it's a long story. Anyway, going back to it, yeah, we brought up Wyndham Bray Wyatt last week. Anyone else in mind that are not unsourced rumors, but people you would like to see?
Well, I can't name anybody who's not currently under contract that I would like to see return, unfortunately. You know, it's like they're all with they've signed with AEW, and you know, you get on the interwebs and you check out the social media and you see what the IWC is all yapping about now that Hunter's taking over.
Thanks for the follow.
Continue. Whatever that was. Anyway, IWC yapping about, oh, it'd be great to have all these guys come back and blah, 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 blah. You know, they can't. Because they're under contract with the other guys and they can't come back.
Well, I mean, there's two people out there that are not under contract that the internet has talked about and I think could do well on the main roster with the current regime.
Oh, do tell.
It's the husband and wife team that are sitting out there on Twitch. You know, Mr. Rebel Heart and the Poison Pixie herself.
You may have to give Tim names.
Gargano and LeRae. They're not under contract with anybody.
They're free agents at the moment.
They're also parents.
They're also parents of a newborn. Yes.
So they're not that free.
They need diaper money at some point.
Yeah. Diapers are expensive, dude. That adds up.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I mean, their son-in-law did come back, though. So
yeah, Dexter came back on Monday.
Yes.
We all like how that's played.
That'll be interesting development. I'm interested to see where they go with that.
We all like how that paid out for them.
It's like we talked about last week. It's having a storyline that kind of runs through the show and that you kind of want to see get paid off because you're invested by that point. So it was, you know, the car wreck and then people checking on the car and then loading the car onto the tow truck. And then at the very end, some dude in a hoodie comes out, tries to, you know, hop the railing. And you find out it's old Crazy Eyes himself. It's a fun thing to make you to pay off the entire show of like, oh, okay, that's where this was going. Okay.
Triple H, Paul Levesque is busy, you know, trying to fill out this roster. Hit Row's back, Dexter's back, Dakota, Io is now back up on the main roster, Bailey's returned. Seeing all these names, Karrion Kross and rumor speculation of Bray Wyatt and what have you. What it's doing is giving you a lot of main eventers. But it's also building up your mid-card. And there's been a new focus given to both the Intercontinental and U.S. titles. Especially, we saw one in the main event this past week, Tim.
We did.
What did you think about that? And how they're handling the new titles right now?
I absolutely enjoyed that main event. I got home in time to watch the last 40 minutes of SmackDown Friday night. And I said to you that was very entertaining. And, you know, like when was the mid-card at its apex, its acme, its peak?
I mean, there's many different eras of it. But, you know, what do you call it? What era was for you?
It was essentially the Attitude Era where the mid-card was in direct competition with the main eventers. And in a lot of cases, we got a lot better matches out of that mid card than we got from the main eventers, which is saying something when you've got The Rock and Austin and DX and all those guys barreling their way through everything. And, you know, I don't want to say they were dominating. They certainly weren't given the lion's share. They were highlighted, featured naturally. Because, you know, that's what you do with money. But the mid-card was not treated as filler afterthought stuff. It was given supreme supreme legit attention. And really, there were people going to live WWE events to watch the mid-card talent as much as to see the main event cards.
Yeah, I mean, sort of how it's gone, but we've had it since then, but everyone chooses to kind of forget that. We've had different ups and downs with really good mid-cards, and sometimes it's struggled, but it's, you know.
There's been times where they've tried to elevate the mid-card belts. You had, I mean, Cody tried when he was there the first time.
Cena did.
Bringing back the white strap. Yeah, I was going to say Cena and the U.S. title challenge when you saw people like, you know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Zack Ryder, all challenging for it.
Yeah, but nothing ever was stuck with. But look who your mid-card title holders are right now, Brent.
Bobby Lashley and Gunther?
Not so much Gunther, but Bobby Lashley, one would consider would be, you know, in the top tier.
I mean, Gunther was the NXT UK champion for how long?
About 3 years.
He was that like forever. So I mean,
yeah, and they're matching up with Shinsuke. That's gonna be good.
That was a really good match.
Now I say not so much Gunther because technically speaking, he's still new on the you know, the SmackDown roster, newish.
Yeah, but you don't discredit what he's already done in the company.
Oh no, by no means do you minimize it.
Well, and I think Triple H also realizes you have to strengthen the mid-card belts, considering the fact that you have essentially unified the world title, and it doesn't necessarily make as much of an appearance on both shows.
Yeah. Well,
as they had talked about.
Yeah, I also said to Rock during that main event that I had never really paid attention to how safe a worker Gunther is. I noticed it in his match against Shinsuke, how safe he is in the ring. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, Keiji?
Yep.
And when you're
the ability
able
to make something look horrible but not actually be horrible.
Yeah, I mean, like when it finally dawns on you that, you know, when that finally registers, that says something about him. And I think that at this point in time, he is probably the exact right person to be holding that belt right now. We're allowed to say belt again, right?
I don't think we were ever not allowed to say belt.
Just thought I'd throw it in there.
So it's a good thing that we're seeing the elevation of the mid-card. Can only strengthen the show. And then when those mid-carders are now done fighting for that mid-card title, they would then be elevated to the world title. That should be the process.
Well, it's just my belief, my thinking that WWF at the time started winning the Monday Night Wars when their mid card started feeling more legit. And it's almost like mid card is just a technical term for that time. You don't see a mid card title defense as your main event, or at least for 20 years we haven't. On a regular basis, I'd like to see more of this happen. I mean, is there any better way to give those belts a sense of what's the word I'm looking for?
Legitimacy.
That's one word, but no, as important
prestige
as your world titles.
Prestige.
You know, as yeah, prestigious. That'd be the word. I mean, I can recall vividly how many times we sat here on Sunday nights talking about how big a deal the Intercontinental Championship used to be, how revered it used to be, how held in high regard it used to be. And we're back, like not back to it, but we're getting back to it. And this time it feels like it's going to stick.
Because you need
as
it.
Opposed to all of these half-hearted attempts over two decades.
Because you needed a stick right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I believe tomorrow it's Lashley and AJ for the belt.
Yep.
That should be a fun match.
That should be a hell of a match.
I'm excited to see it.
Unlike a lot of big guys that Vince has had in the company over time, Lashley is one of those rare few that isn't just there to be a bull in a china shop. He's extremely talented.
Stick and move, AJ. Stick and move.
And his matches aren't like train wrecks like Goldberg's are. You tune in to watch Goldberg screw shit up while he's dominating. That's the biggest draw to a Goldberg match and has been since 2010.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what you are going to get when you watch a Goldberg match. You shouldn't expect anything more than that.
Yeah, and if it lasts longer than 5 minutes, somebody screwed up timing.
I was going to say a 5-star 20-minute classic, Casey. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if
a 20-star 5-minute
of those
classic.
20 minutes involves ring entrances, yes.
Yeah.
You see, with Lashley, you could have a 20-minute match after ring entrances, and he'd be able to go. And he protects his opponents in the ring.
What happens when he's amateur trained and has that kind of background? Yeah, and built like a brick shit house.
Like a shit brick house.
But we all know how that match is going to end tomorrow night, right? AJ's going
to jump. Oh, yeah, Theory's going to come out and screw it up.
Oh, no, I was going to say AJ's going to come off the top rope with the phenomenal forearm. Lashley's going to catch him and put him right into the hurt lock like we saw with Theory, and it's going to look spectacular in that moment.
I'm looking forward to that match.
So yeah, there's a rise in the mid-card, and that's a good thing to see.
It's a damn good thing to see.
So, as mentioned at the top of the show, we've fallen behind on the all-time greatest. It's time to catch up, or dive through a few of these. Maybe get through this whole entire second round that we need to finish. So, with that, it's time for some all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Continue our search for the all-time greatest babyface. Up here in the second round is Christian taking on Daniel Bryan. Casey.
I mean, I've always liked Christian more as a heel. I guess he was kind of a babyface when he tagged with Edge, but...
His world title run against Randy.
Yeah. I was going to say, when he got the world title after Edge retired.
Yes, his the whole one more match thing, but I don't know.
His ECW run as well.
Yeah. I know. I've enjoyed Christian as a heel more than I have a babyface. And Daniel Bryan got an entire fan base behind him and basically willed him into the title picture. You can't get much more babyface than that. Daniel Bryan.
Brent.
Touching on what Casey said, I mean, Christian had moments as a face, but he's more... I would consider him more of a Young Buck face kind of thing, where it's like, he was an asshole, but people kind of just liked the asshole. Like, when you did the 5-second pose, and when they had the kazoos, and, yeah, when it was the Edge and Christian stick, then people enjoyed it, but by himself, and I mean, even in TNA, I don't know. Daniel Bryan became a pop culture entity in amongst himself. He got... You know, he got a simple gesture of pointing up and saying yes to permeate the landscape where it was being done in sports venues that weren't wrestling. Like, you had
what?
You had baseball and football arenas. You had baseball and football arenas that were doing the yes chant.
What?
Anywhere he goes.
You good, Tim?
Tim has Tourette's. Awesome.
Can we mute him without his mic being broken?
No.
Or should we just wait?
But I think one of the big things for Daniel Bryan was, you know, when he turned on the Wyatt family, which I think a lot of people would say happened too early, that entire arena shook at that moment. You know, they had the Yes Movement takeover of the ring, which, while scripted, looked very impressive. And for God's sake, he had the opening and closing of a WrestleMania that overshadowed the streak. So, in terms of babyface, yeah, I'm sorry. It's Daniel Bryan, hands down.
Tim.
What? Yeah, there's a reason I was doing that, and sorry, Brent, you're supposed to like follow along with that. Daniel Bryan got a single word over, not just in WWE, not just in wrestling, but like you say, it has become pop culture, and while not quite as big as Steve Austin's What, which is still going on today, 22 odd years later.
Unfortunately,
we're going to get that with the yes chant and the fingers pointing to the sky. You watch 20 years from now, your kids are going to be going, yes, 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 yes.
Maybe.
I see it happening.
I mean, if it is, it's good.
You know, and just basically Daniel Bryan, not so much, but the movement has transcended WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely massively huge. Now, Christian, babyface, not really. You know, like, yeah, there were moments and whatever and stuff, but it was just your standard wrestler turning from heel to babyface, back to heel, back to babyface, back to heel, back to babyface. Not quite as often as Big Show. However, Christian was at his best when he and Edge were still partnered up, and they were a comedy heel team, is what it was. Comedy heels.
Mm-hmm.
With the 5 second pose and all this other, you know, all the other stuff that they did. It was great. They were being assholes, but most of the time they were our kind of assholes. But that's not being a babyface. I mean, like, hands down, unanimous, DB. BD.
Daniel Bryan moves on.
Daniel Bryan Danielson.
Road Warriors. Hangman Adam Page.
Boy.
Tim.
Yeah, Road Warriors, they were like, you know, they fall into that anti-hero category. Really. Never really 100% babyface.
You good, Tim? Did we lose Tim?
He did say what too many times.
Lost him, I think, for a second.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you lost me again.
Yeah.
We did for a second.
You're back now.
Okay, well, remind me not to lean on the microphone when it's hanging from overhead. It pinches the mic cord, and it's like, you know, the water hose in the summertime when you pinch the hose and the water stops. Microphone cords, don't pinch them because the audio stops. Where were we?
You started on about the Road Warriors. Just go.
Yeah, they're more like, you know, they fall into the anti-hero category. But Adam Page, what would you say about him? I mean, is he a babyface? Is he a heel? Does he fall into the asshole category? The, you know, the smug prick?
All above?
All of the above? That works, you know, for him, that works better than being the babyface. Being the babyface doesn't mean you're a crowd favorite. And we're not doing all-time crowd favorite. Otherwise, Adam Page would come dangerously close to being my pick. However, I'm going with the Road Warriors.
Okay. Casey.
I really enjoyed the story they told with Adam Page about his, like, road to redemption and how when it started, he, you know, he was talking about how he's going to be the first AEW World Champion. And that didn't happen. And then a whole bunch of other stuff happened. And then they did the whole, like, Adam Page is a drunk. And then they kind of told that story of, like, how, you know, he came around and realized that he needed to change and realized that his attitude was kind of alienating himself amongst his, you know, his friends and close buddies. And he turned it around and brought back and ended up winning. That was super cool. Mm-hmm. I was 300% invested in it. I enjoyed the storytelling. On the other hand, the first time I saw the Road Warriors come to the ring, I lost my frickin' mind.
You lost your shit.
And, well, I did not understand that, you know, and, like, the first time I saw them was in WWF at the time, because we didn't get WCW up here, or at least I couldn't find it, because I was but a wee child.
And you didn't have the TBS.
No, I don't think... I mean, at the time, I think we only had like 20 channels. We weren't cool and had giant satellite dishes in my backyard or whatever it was at the time.
One of the advantages of having grown up in a media family, I got to watch it. Haha.
Yes. In any case, yeah, those guys were super cool. I loved watching him win. Their promos were insane. And I mean, I saw them as baby faces in the Fed. So, you know, they came back in 2000. I flipped my shit. I've always been behind the Road Warriors 110%. Never saw them as bad guys back in the day. So I'm going to go with the Road Warriors.
Brent.
Well, this vote doesn't matter, but the Page storyline, sure, it was a good, you know, kind of getting him to the world championship storyline, but I also kind of look at the, you know, what happened just before, what happened just after, and there's really not a lot to talk about. It's like Page was hot with the AEW crowd for, I would say, 8 months, maybe a year, but now he's back hanging out with the goofy Dark Order. It really feels like a step down from where he was, and it's just kind of like, oh, all right, well, he had his run, now let's put him over here. Kind of like Keishi, the Road Warriors, whenever you heard that guitar riff and What a Rush hit, and I mean, even in, you know, NWA/WCW, when their music hit, that arena erupted. And I know it's not just crowd reaction, but the fans were totally behind the Road Warriors. I'm willing to overlook the whole Rocco chapter of their existence, because that was just special. But in terms of who the better babyface is between the two, I've got to give it more for the Road Warriors just because of the overall impact, and I want to say the length of what they had. Whereas, like I said, Adam Page had a good bit of a run, but I would need to see more from him in that respect to be able to give him more consideration for this. Because right now, it's the Road Warriors, and I'm sorry, Adam Page, I can't even remember the last time he was on TV in a wrestling capacity.
There you go.
Unanimous. Before you move on, a quick question for Keishi. Keishi, a few years ago up in Edmonton, were you on that RCW card Demolition was on?
Yes, I was.
That's right. I thought so. I remember that. I was up there videotaping for Squig that night. Teddy was there too, wasn't he?
I believe at the time, yes.
Yeah. Do you have a Demolition story about that night?
I don't know. Not about that one. We did a show. Where did we do that show? I don't think it was in Edmonton. It might have been in Edmonton. Yeah, it was in Edmonton. But in any case, like,
up in the north.
They did. I think we did two or three shows with them for that weekend, and yep, just like those two guys in general, not necessarily from like the wrestling perspective, which I mean, they did a pretty good job for what it was, but just the way that they kind of carried themselves, and they were happy to talk to the guys in the locker room and share stories, and they were just two really, really nice guys. Probably some of like my favorite like big name outside talents that have come up here, and yeah, they were just really gracious with their time and their knowledge of the business, and like the stories that they had and stuff were very, very cool.
It just blew my mind how quiet and personable Edie was.
Amazing. No, he was, yeah. They both told some really cool stories, so and if you get a chance to meet those guys, in any case, go for it. They're absolutely super nice and really gracious and very appreciative of, you know, everything that they had, and they really like the fans and stuff. So,
well, they appreciate the fans, and that comes across. Yeah. Did you make it to the bar for the after party?
I can't remember if I did for that one or not. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, we're talking like 7 or 8 years ago here. No, yeah, even longer.
I mean, that was when I was younger and did not have as much responsibility, aka was not a father. So there's a good chance I probably did go at least for a little bit.
I'm trying to remember if I saw you there. I was late arriving to the party because Edmonton is such a screwed up place to get around. It really is. And that's a whole different story on its own.
It's a lot easier now that you have, you know, a navigation person at your fingertips
called GPS. Yeah, yeah. But back then, Like, I think we were still in the third generation smartphones where that wasn't built in. You actually had to have a Garmin. And those things were like $250. But my short little demolition story, arriving late at the bar, walking in, Squig is right at the front of the bar. He's, yeah, Tim, come on and grab a beer off the table. Go ahead, have fun. I sit down right next to Bill, and I'm literally sitting in between them. I reach up and I grab a pitcher of beer and fill my mug and start to take a drink. And Squig gets right into my ear, and he's not very, what the hell are you doing? That's Bill's beer. Just as I'm drinking it, I accidentally took Bill Eadie's jug of beer, and I looked over mortified. He looked over me, smiled, says, enjoy it. Very quietly, could barely hear him.
Trying to figure out how this relates to the Road Warriors of any kind, but here we are.
Absolutely not at all. It just hit my brain, and I had to get it up before I forgot about it.
Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino, Brent.
I will confess, I have not seen a lot of Bruno. I know of him. I know of his work. But in terms of being able to, you know, properly place the two of them, it's a little hard. I know Bruno was very much, in his heyday, the pinnacle. He was the one, if you came through Madison Square Garden, that's the man who you had to beat. And the legacy that he leaves behind is incredible. But
yeah, what was his longest title reign?
Not totally sure. Now I'm doing research.
It's like over 5 years at one point. Research afterwards. Finish your answer.
Yeah. But I was going to say, in terms of this, Hogan was able to become a cultural icon. He transcended wrestling in terms of being part of that vision with the, you know, rock and wrestling and the movies and, you know, the TV shows that he produced. And I think one of the biggest things that shows how big of a babyface he was, and we always talk about it, when he turned heel, that was huge. And the way that everyone just instantly turned on him.
One of three things WCW got right.
But when he walked down to the ring and he, you know, hit that leg drop on Savage, everyone in that arena, everyone at home on a dime was just like, oh, no. And so that just shows you how entrenched he was in being a babyface, and then was able to, with all of that, in the span of 30 seconds, flip it on its head. So for that alone, showing how much of a babyface he was, I've got to go with Hogan.
2,803 days consecutively for Bruno Sammartino.
Thanks, Cash.
And combined championship reign for him was 4,040.
Jesus.
Would you say 2,873?
No, 2,803 for longest reign.
Brent, you said Hogan?
Yes, I...
just making
TLDR, Hogan.
That's over seven and a half years straight title holding in, like, one reign.
Tim?
Yes?
Your turn.
Oh. Yeah, Bruno Sammartino was the man. The man. Like Brent, you said, you don't really have any knowledge of Bruno. I was very young when he was out there as the man. And he was neither a baby face nor the bad guy. He was the guy you had to beat. He was the guy that you got to meet, or you had to meet if you climbed to the top. And there's no two ways about it. Back then, things were a hell of a lot different. And from one night to the next, people would show up to cheer him or boo him. It was smatterings of both. It was like the majority was in his corner, or the majority was against him. There was no in between with Bruno. You guys hit the nail on the head with Hogan. I mean, transcending wrestling, he spearheaded the whole wrestlers getting into the mainstream. A lot of people, their first exposure to Hulk Hogan was as Thunderlips in Rocky III. And it's like, who the hell is this great big huge blonde behemoth with the weird looking mustache? And it just like, you know, you're talking about the Yes Movement being a pop culture phenomenon. Like Stone Cold's what is there as well. Hulk Hogan was everywhere, starting from the 80s. I mean, he was all over TV, late night talk shows, early morning talk shows. Isn't Hogan the guy that put Richard Belzer into the hospital with a concussion on his show?
You guys Richard follow Belzer.
Yeah, Munch from one of the CSI or Law and Order or whatever. One of the Law and Order TV shows. He was Detective Munch.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Continue.
Anyway, you're probably in the middle of looking it up with Google, so you'll recognize him when you see him.
I do recognize him now that I see him.
See, I told you. But yeah, short story long, it's Hulk Hogan.
Casey.
Yeah, I mean, I have to echo a lot of the things that Brent said. I was a little bit too young for Bruno Sammartino and almost right perfect, maybe a couple years earlier probably would have solidified it, but like right into Hulkamania. I had all kinds of Hulk Hogan stuff. I was very much a fan of Hulk Hogan. And even nowadays, you know, when I tell people that I am a pro wrestler and they go, oh, like the Olympics. And I go, no, like Hulk Hogan. And everybody knows who that is. He's the guy that you reference when you talk about pro wrestling.
And then they're like, hey, oh, the fake shit.
No, most of the time they don't go there, but you know,
well, that's when you put him in a legit hold and ask him how fake it feels.
No. I explain them very logically and usually I can get them to come around. It's fun.
And or then you put him in the hole.
There was one time when I told someone I was a pro wrestler and he's like, you know, that's or I told him I liked wrestling. And he's like, you know, that stuff's fake, right? I'm like, yeah, I do it. And he's like, oh, and he immediately just like 180'd. It was hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, Hulk Hogan,
they
man.
People talk tough until they realize they're talking to somebody involved in wrestling. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But Hulk Hogan is the baby face that I came up knowing. Maybe if I was in that Sammartino era and I was from New York and I watched shows at, you know, the Garden, I'd pick Bruno, but I didn't. So Hogan.
There you go. Yeah.
Miss Elizabeth, Becky Lynch.
Right. Damn it. This one's tough.
It is, but it isn't.
It's hard because Elizabeth, you know, this is my child. This is the part of my childhood growing up, you know, the romance of Elizabeth and Randy and the fact that, you know, she was a babyface the entire time. Randy was just an asshole. And the more we find out later, you know, behind the scenes and everything, he's really an asshole. But it's like Elizabeth was always just, you know, the sweet girl who was accompanying him to the ring, was his human shield when he needed it. You know, the fans loved her. Then she went to WCW and some weird shit happened. She turned semi-heel, I guess. I don't know. But it's like I said, Miss Elizabeth is like my childhood, but I've got to go. Part of me, I'm torn because I really want to go Becky Lynch too.
Then go with it. Just make, go out on a limb and make the pick.
I'll go Becky.
Like, you don't have to be torn about it. If it's your thought, you go with what your thought is.
I know. Like I said, it's just, Elizabeth is very much like a quintessential babyface manager, and you felt sympathy for her as a fan just because of who she was with. And, you know, she was aligned with Hogan, who was a big name.
You make an ironclad case for Miss Elizabeth and then pick Becky.
But also, I mean, if you look now, Becky, they tried to turn her heel, and the entire fan base said no.
And they would have done that if they tried to turn Miss Elizabeth heel in WWF.
But again, TLDR, I'm going to go Becky.
Casey.
This is very tough. Like, I mean, you know, Miss Elizabeth was probably like the babiest of baby faces in her time. I wouldn't have, you know, like kind of like how when they turned Hogan in WCW, if during Elizabeth's run in the WWF, if they turned her heel, I'm sure like the entire world would have just like jaws on the floor. Unbelievable. On the other hand, Becky was, I have always enjoyed Becky's baby face runs even before she became the man. I found her likable as a character. And my biggest thing with Becky is a baby face is when she was like, when she had the crowd behind her the most was kind of during her the man thing. And then she was kind of more like anti-hero type. She wasn't super babyface, but leading up to that point, she was. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to pick Becky mostly because she was a wrestler.
Tim.
Well, you're both wrong, and this is why. Listen, Becky's babyface run, monster run, really, seriously. The fact that the fans didn't want her turning heel speaks volumes, but at the same time, it's irrelevant. We've seen different levels of that happening at different times. I was just really starting to get into Becky Lynch's heel run, like really digging it. And I felt sorry for the fact that the fans never gave that character a chance. And collectively, we all should have. At some point in time, maybe it'll happen again. But even though she's not moving on, it is Miss Elizabeth as the ultimate quintessential baby face.
In your opinion.
Like with Randy and Elizabeth, it was like one of the first times ever you saw a heel and a baby face teamed up together.
Okay.
And Elizabeth being the baby face made Randy's monster heel run that much bigger.
All right. Trish Stratus, Diamond Dallas Page, Keishi.
Ooh.
I mean, I like Trish. She did really good. She was able to retire in her hometown to thousands of cheers from the fans, but Diamond Dallas Page's run against the New World Order in WCW was like right around the time that we were starting to get WCW in Canada on like a regular TV station. And from the get-go, first Diamond Cutter I ever saw, man, DDP had me. Is, you know, that tease of like joining the NWO and then just immediately turning on him. The program that he ran with Savage that like really, really, really solidified him as like a main event guy. The way that he would like come in, he would enter through the crowd, which is not something I had ever seen before. I'm sure it had happened other times, but just like he wasn't necessarily a self-proclaimed people's champ. He just kind of became it based on what he did in the ring. So I'm going to give it to DDP.
Tim.
The problem with DDP's character overall, it suffered something similar on a smaller scale to what happened when Brent went to WCW. I just felt like WWF did not know how to use him properly. His debut was one of the worst debuts I have ever seen in WWF, WWE. It was like the whole idea of it was fantastic. The execution did not work. He was too big of a name in WCW for something like that to get over in WWF. And that hurt him. Trish, you know, self-made wrestler. She started out as a valet, and before that a body model. Not self-taught, but self-made. Her retirement match saw her win the women's title. How many wrestlers, Keishi, can you name not only winning their final match, but winning a title on their final match?
Not many.
Brent?
None come to mind.
Exactly. Like, she is the only one. I'm sure if we dug through the archives, we'd find one or two more in 40 years that were allowed to retire with a victory. But just that itself says a hell of a lot. And of course, like Trish's, she was WWE through and through from start to finish, never ever with any other company. And she worked her ass off. And yeah, she was put in some humiliating and embarrassing situations, and we don't need to cover that. But she always came out on top, absolutely on top of everything. And she had the crowd behind her eating out of her hand. And to this day, she still has that. I'm not taking anything away from Diamond Dallas Page. And Leah, the whole stalker angle was fantastic up until I found out it was DDP. Like I said, brilliant idea, horrible execution. And when I say horrible execution, not the leading up to the reveal, but the reveal itself. It just – it didn't work for DDP, Lindsay, just addressing what she said in the chat room. But with all my rambling here, cutting it off right now, I've got to give it to Trish.
Right. Tiebreak, go. And also, if you couldn't understand it, I did when she said amazeballs. There was sarcasm in that.
Oh, that was sarcasm?
Yeah. You couldn't tell by amazeballs, I mean.
Well, no, because I know people who actually use that as a legit thing. Sarcasm doesn't translate very well into text.
I got it right away.
It was balls.
All right, Brent, go.
All right. Not taking anything away from Trish. Her runs with the women's title, the ability that she was able to, as Tim talked about, become a legitimate wrestler after having no background in it. The fact that she was able to put on great matches with Lita, in which she was able to main event Raw in a time in which the women didn't main event Raw. That's how big of a deal it was. And the fact that, you know, her and Mickey at WrestleMania, again, big, big moment. That being said, I've got to give my vote to Paige simply because it was, as Casey touched on, it essentially was when Sting was gone, when Sting took his ball and went to the rafters for over a year, which also was unheard of in wrestling at that time, Diamond Dallas Page was the foil for the NWO. As much as they ran roughshod, there was one guy who would try to stick it to them as much and as often as possible. And when he would come out and wear the NWO shirt and sucker them in and then drop them with the diamond cutter and immediately go into the crowd and the fans ate it up, that was a moment. And then when he finally won the world title, that was huge. So
yeah, I'll give you another strike against Diamond Dallas Page. It's because of him that David Arquette is in the record books as the world champion.
Did he book that match? Did Diamond Dallas Page book that match?
No.
No, he turned David Arquette over so he could get the 1-2-3 victory.
Yeah, but did he do that as like a, I'm going to screw everybody? Or was it more of a, well, this is what the storyline tells me to do?
Quit peeking that far back behind the curtain.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
See, told you.
Eh.
Sorry, not sorry.
Hey, DDP moving on. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
And that's where we're cutting things off for the night.
All right, everybody, that is and has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hey, next Sunday, Rock, do we have anything we got to take care of?
It's just a normal Sunday.
Oh, but there will be another edition of WTR. You wait, you watch, you'll see. But before that happens, tomorrow night immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show where they'll be able to talk with absolute amazement over the return of Bray Wyatt.
Maybe.
Or maybe not.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And, of course, if I were to say absolutely amazeballs with the next one, I would be sincere and not facetious. Of course, talking about Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with the multi-time, multi-award-winning Lindsay Ward. And she's joined with some guy named Sock.
Rack Live, Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk NXT, Heatwave, news, notes, all that fun stuff, tweet of the week. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? You can use the creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop because you play Fortnite on Twitch.
We do on Saturday night. We play Fortnite with friends. You can use it in the Epic Game Store. You can think Madden's going to be in the Epic Game Store. There's a bunch of new Rumbleverse, Fall Guys that you can, and all this stuff. It's all in the Epic Game Store. You can use it there. Hashtag Epic Partner. If you like Dragon Ball Z, the Dragon Ball Z skins are coming this week. So buy your skins, use the code.
Hey, what happens midnight-ish or as close as they can get to it, Rock?
CB,
on Saturday.
CB Radio, we're headed to episode 750 here soon and then 15 years this December. CBRadio.com.
How much fun was episode 420?
I don't know.
You can't even remember. Think about it.
not really funny.
It's legal in Canada.
Anyway, SuperRedLive.com wrote at the greater than great debate.com.
Yeah, of course, next Sunday night, we're back at it, like I told you right at the top of the thing. Now, if anything breaks during the week, there's a really, really great way of finding out if it's coming from us. Social media.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, it's WTR Sunday night on the Facebook and Twitters.
Oh, Twitters. Did you say Twitters? I'm on Twitters. Yeah, you can follow me at Flame Squirms. You should, because it's such a treat. Isn't it, Casey?
Yeah, he talks about trade deadlines and frozen ponds things.
And other stuff.
And other stuff.
And things and stuff and things. But, hey, you know, you should join Twitter and promote your Redbubble stuff.
Yeah, oh, do better than me. Promote your Redbubble stuff. Not like what happens on @KyleDriver on Twitter and Instagram, where I only more or less just share upcoming wrestling shows in my area and don't promote my own store ever because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, start promoting your own store, but also like post funny shit, you know, just like one post a day is all you need to get started.
Hey, eventually I'm going to get over the Big Bad Boris's low-impact aqua-size extravaganza.
Wow.
If you know, you know.
That's a mouthful.
Brent makes friends on the Twitter.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, I do make friends. They like to let me know that I have no idea what I'm talking about. But you can follow me on Twitter at Kane Kittens, or you can follow my fantasy tag team partner in WTR Fantasy, the WTR Wheel, on Twitter as well.
I was actually going to steer you towards promoting the Wheel's Twitter handle. That's cool. That's cool. All right. I think we're done.
We're done. Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night, Tim.
WildTalkRadio.com.